Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Want to remind you about my podcast, or Rhema's Weekly Podcast, and you can find that wherever you find podcasts. Usually you just put in my name, or Rhema Weekly Podcast. Yesterday's episode we dropped was businessman Steve Yoder. Steve Yoder is actually on our board, and he talks about that when he came to Rhema, he never intended ever to go in ministry. He just, you know, come to learn more about the Bible. But he talked about it a few years ago that Lord had actually gave him opportunity, and he began kind of being a little bit of a missionary. He said, you know, our business, because that's how his father did it, was we believe that we make money to help fund the gospel. That's the reason God's blessing them. And so, wonderful podcast, and, you know, make yourself available to that. Also, Mind Control, we did last week. It's been a very popular one this year, and so, you know, listen to that. Had a great testimony today. Somebody called me on the phone, one of my good friends, said, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but yesterday was the first time I listened to your podcast. He goes, I listened to three of them, and said, it actually was really good. It actually is really good. So just let you know about that. All right, so I'm going to preach the sermon I was going to preach on Sunday morning. I'm going to preach it now. Okay, so you can turn back to Matthew chapter 7. If you weren't here Sunday morning, I preached a message called Matthew chapter 7. It was good, actually. Got a lot of good reports. But basically, it wasn't my message because I was just repeating what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. It was really his message. I was just bringing it forth to light for you guys. But the message that I was actually preparing for was part of Matthew chapter 7. And the title of my message tonight is Being Fruity. All right? Or Are You Fruity? Something like that. Or maybe Tutti Fruity Old Rudy or something. Something about being fruity, okay? And obviously, if you know Matthew 7, you probably remember this. Matthew 7, starting with verse number 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And we talked about on Sunday morning how, you know, people start hearing this thing of a false prophet. I would definitely recognize a false prophet. But see, the Bible says they come as sheep in wolf clothing where you don't really recognize, you know, maybe a lot of the things that they preach are really good, but they're just a little bit off. And so we have to, you know, we have to rightly divide the word of God. In fact, one reason that my grandfather, he always would tell us, even in his books, he says, you know, take my books and take your Bible and make sure that I don't misquote. You know, make sure you read it in your Bible for yourself. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that misquote or misrepresent, or, you know, different things like that. But speaking about wolves in sheep's clothing, let me tell you how there's false prophets in the grocery store. I know that you're single. What do you mean, false prophets in the grocery store? Anybody ever been to Whole Foods? Anybody ever been to Whole Foods? I've gone to Whole Foods like three times in my life. First of all, being a fat guy in Whole Foods doesn't really fit. I mean, you look around, you don't really fit the bill of I have lost a lot of weight since last time I went to Whole Foods, so. So anyway, when I started my diet, I figured, well, a good place to get healthy stuff is Whole Foods, right? Because, you know, it's called Whole Foods. You know, I'm not saying they don't have good, healthy food. But one thing I started thinking about my diet was that, you know, we all like to have snacks. I mean, everyone likes to have snacks. There's good snacks, there's bad snacks, and different things like that. So I go to the row where there's, like, protein bars and granola bars. And you realize that Whole Foods, everything looks healthy. You know, it's gluten-free, it's this free, it's that free, it's all these frees. I mean, you know, I felt free in there. So, well, not too free because I had to wear my mask because they make you wear your mask in Whole Foods. So, whole other story. But anyway, so I have found out that all these things look healthy, but all of them weren't really on my diet. In fact, I don't know how many of the packets I picked up and I looked at it because I try not to have sugar, all right? And especially, you know, you realize that there's sugar, like if you have fruit, there's sugar in fruit already, natural sugar, and that's good. What's bad is artificial sugar, you know, sugar they added. And I don't know how many of the things I turned around and found. They added 10 grams of sugar to this and 7 grams of sugar to that and all the. Well, sugars also make carbs go up. But these look like they're healthy. I mean, they were in Whole Foods. I mean, Whole Foods doesn't have unhealthy stuff, I guess, you know. And the boxes, you know, like this and that. And I found out that even though they look healthy, I have to examine them closely to see if they're right for me. Now, maybe some people have a different diet. You know, if I was on the all-sugar diet, maybe it would work for me. But I'm just trying to give examples. Sometimes things look good, you know, and sometimes, you know, well, yeah, everybody else is you know, saying how awesome this minister is, and maybe they are. I don't know. You know, but it says we shall know them by their fruits. Now, you understand sometimes it takes a while, you know, for fruit to develop. You realize that a fruit tree, apple tree, orange tree, or Jesus' favorite, the fig tree, you know, they don't develop fruit immediately. All right, you know, but eventually they do. It goes on to say, verse 17, a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. And so understand that it says that you can identify persons by their actions, like what kind of fruit are they putting out. Now, here's the thing. When you read about all these false prophets and things, then I started thinking about people who go to our church, or even specifically, you know, people that have gone to our Bible school or going to our Bible school. And do you realize that if people, now, a lot of times people don't know what church you go to, you know, but when you're a student, usually people know you go to a certain school. But do you realize that everything that you do is a reflection of us pastors? And so you realize if you guys are screwing up, they're going to think we're false prophets because you're not putting out the right fruits. You're not being fruity. Or maybe you are being fruity, but you're putting out bad fruits. Because it says a good tree can't produce, you know, I mean, good tree only can produce good fruits. A bad tree can only produce bad fruits. So if you're not being fruity, it's not because of, you know, because I know my parents, myself, you know, Pastor Bill, Pastor Tad, and Pastor Denise, and, you know, everybody else who teaches here, I know that we're good. So if you're not producing the right kind of fruit, then you're listening to some false prophets. Or either that, or you're not being what we call a doer of the word. Like you're not actually following my prayer, because I pray every time that you're going to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. You know, but some of us aren't being the right kinds of fruits. You know, maybe you're kind of being some kind of dodo bird fruit, but that's not the kind of fruits we're talking about. Reading a couple more scriptures about this. Romans chapter 16 says this. Romans 16, the writer of Romans, which I believe is Paul, but some people don't know that. All right, Romans 16:17 says, and now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you've been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests by smooth talk and glowing words as they deceive innocent people. Unfortunately, I've seen ministers who started out good, and then they started getting puffed up and prideful, and all this smooth talking. So, you know that I can't be a false prophet because I don't know how to do smooth talking. Haven't figured that out yet. I know, maybe crude talking, maybe that's probably more me, but smooth talking, I'm not really good about that. But, you know, the thing about it is, are you a smooth talker? I mean, is that the fruit you're doing? Because a lot of times, you know, there are a lot of smooth talkers. Now, usually smooth talkers always end up in sales. You know, I'm not trying to pick on you salesmen, but, you know. And the thing about it, if you are in sales, I guarantee you there's somebody that works with you that you can identify that, you know, is one of those smooth talker guys. And they're not always good fruit either. But, you know, it's interesting how it says, stay away from them. Such people not serving Christ our Lord. Now, I'm not talking about being salesmen, but I'm talking about their own personal interests. All right, so, but remember this says, watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith. Do you realize that a lot of people on Facebook are causing divisions and upsetting people's faith? Some of them go to our church here. You know, I mean, you know, so we're not supposed to, you know, upset people, divide people. We're supposed to unite. All right? It's part of the fruit that we're made of. All right, going back to Matthew chapter 12 says this, verse 33, says a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes. Exclamation point. That means Jesus was, you know, this is red letter, so Jesus was pretty upset. Then he says, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Now, you understand, sometimes in life we need to watch our mouth, or we need to speak slowly. Because you understand, we're all natural people. And a lot of times, because of situations that happen to us in life, a lot of times, as soon as that happens, the first thing that we think of isn't always pure, lovely, and holy, and all these kind of things. The first thing we think of is our natural human nature. You shouldn't speak those things out. All right? See, what happens is that whenever you have a thought, remember the Bible talks about casting down imaginations. When you have a thought, immediately inside your brain, very quickly, your thought life and everything is to say, that's not the mind of Christ. See, that's the Holy Spirit convicting us and telling us, you know what? Don't give him peace in your mind. Don't give him peace in your mind. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, and, you know, beep, 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 beep. It's just like in my car, I have one of these warning things, you know. And so, like, today I was actually turning out, and some guy decides to make a U-turn, you know. And so they're turning around the same time I'm turning out. And we're, like, face-to-face. Like, and my car is going beep, 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 almost like, you know, he's, like, in my, you know, thing because it was telling me, you know, be careful. Well, that should be happening in your life. When you're going through, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, be fruity, be fruity, be the good kind of fruity. All right? You know, but a lot of times we override that. Now, what I'm talking about is over in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Romans 8, 11, says this. It says that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So you need to understand the Spirit of God lives in us. All right? Some people I wonder about. Because you don't act like the Spirit of God lives in you. You know, you act like somebody else lives in you. All right? Goes on to say, and just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by this same Spirit living within you. So it says, he shall give you life. Now you realize the only time most Christians read this scripture, it's when they're tired. I don't know how many people, you know, read the scripture. Well, you know, he's giving, you know, the Lord's going to give me life. The King James says, quicken your mortal bodies. And so when it says quicken your mortal bodies, think, yeah, this is the anti-tired scripture. No, this is the live life scripture. The same Spirit that raised Christ up from the dead, this is a dead raising spirit. It lives on the inside of you. You know, and so you need to understand who's on the inside. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside that's helping you live your life. All right, goes on to say, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So we being children of God, we're led by the Spirit of God. All right, and it's that Spirit that leads us and guides us. And what that Spirit does, the way he leads us and guides us, is sometimes he shows us what to do, and sometimes he tells us what not to do. In fact, my grandfather says that he went as much whenever he was praying about a situation as what the Holy Spirit did say is what he didn't say. You know, because if the Holy Spirit didn't stop him from doing something, he said, well, I guess I can do that. It's okay. Because, you know, when you're doing something wrong, you know, we've all been there where we feel conviction because we're not, I mean, how many times have you said something and immediately felt bad because you said it? Immediately. Now, the problem is that you should feel bad before you say it. Because if you can feel bad before you say it, it'll save a lot of situations. Because you know, here's the thing. Even if you say something, now we live in a world where it's not, you don't have to just say it, you actually can put it on the internet. And once it goes out there, how many times have you been watching the news and it says so-and-so had a tweet, but they deleted it a few minutes afterwards. But obviously those people all copied it. They all got it. It didn't matter how quickly they deleted it. Once it's been out there, you own it. So the best thing to do is feel bad before you have to feel bad. Because you know what? It's a whole lot more work to fix something than it is to not mess it up in the first place. You know, and it's the thing is that some of us are putting out the wrong fruit. Now, all this is an introduction to get to where I want to get to. What we call the fruit of the Spirit. Now, just a kind of a quick teaching, you realize that, you know, we have the gift of the Spirit and we have the fruit of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit operate as the Holy Spirit wills, all right? The fruit of the Spirit operates as we will, you know, as we should, all right? And so Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to look at each one of them very quickly because we don't have a lot of time. You know, each one of them is a whole sermon in itself. But it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So it says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. This is the kind of fruit, so when we're being fruity, this is the kind of fruit that we need to put off. All right? And he goes through the whole list. Now, here's the thing. I know people are praying for fruit. You don't have to pray for fruit. Fruit belongs to you. All right? You don't have to pray, because I know people have trouble with their love walk. They're sort of, God, give me, help me with my love walk. Well, he'll help you every day. He's leading you and guiding you. And help, Lord, help me have more patience. You see, people are praying for things that belong to them. It's just like we preached the other day, that healing already belongs to you. A lot of times you need to claim your healing instead of pray for your healing. All right? But love belongs to you. Joy belongs to you. Peace belongs to you. All these things belong to you. And the Holy Spirit will help you achieve that if you'll listen to the inside. See, we have to listen to our inward witness. The way we get the right kind of fruit is listen to on the inside. It doesn't come on the outside. When we see what happens on the outside is we have things that come against us that sometimes helps us produce a bad kind of fruit, because usually what happens is we produce bad fruit out of frustration. Somebody frustrates us, and we produce bad fruit. So let's go through these really quickly. Like I said, I don't have time to say a whole lot about each one of them or even have a scripture about each one of them. I wanted to do that, but I don't have time. So let's talk about love. Now, we're not talking about the ooey gooey, you know, loving feeling that you have on the inside. All right, we're talking about love for one another. You know, Jesus actually, whenever he was asked about the greatest commandment, he said the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your soul, and all your heart. And which, that's what I call the no duh commandment, because if you don't love God, I don't even know, I mean, how are you a Christian anyway? I mean, that's expected. Every Christian I know, I mean, they love God. But then he said the second one is like it, which means it's the same thing as to love your neighbor as yourself. And there's a couple of meanings. First of all, every person is made in the image of God. And so when you see that person walking around, you have to say, you know what? That's a God-like person. Now, it doesn't mean they always act godly, but they're in the image of God. And it says that we should love them as much as we love ourselves. And that's a huge deal, because people love themselves. Now, there are some people who don't love themselves, and that's why they can't love anybody else, because they don't have love for themselves. Until they find love for themselves, they cannot love anybody else. Whitney Houston said it this way, the greatest love of all is inside of me. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. You know, I'm not a singer, I could sing the whole song. Not like Whitney. But anyway, you know, we have to learn to love ourselves. And that's a really key. In order to love somebody else, we have to love ourselves. We have to decide, you know what? We have to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm made in the image of God. I mean, you know, how many times especially with boys, you know, boys like to say, I look just like my father. You know, and I know it might be hard for some of you girls to say, well, I look like my father. That might not be a good thing or whatever. You want to look more like your mother. All right, unless you have a pretty father, then I guess, you know, so, or whatever. But we're made in the image of God. And so to hate ourselves is to hate God. I mean, that's what Jesus was saying, basically. And it's not that you have to love people, you get to love people. And I tell you what, you can never win someone to the kingdom. I mean, the way we win someone is we love people to the kingdom of God. It's part of the fruits that we have. All right? God's love is unconditional. That means he loves you even when you don't love him back. And that's the same kind of love we have to have. The unconditional love. All right? But your love is most evident when everything doesn't go your way. That's whenever you can see, you know, the real love of God. You know, this type of fruit keeps on loving even when it's difficult to show affection to others. You know, sometimes there's difficult people, but we can still love them. You know, we can still care about them. And it's not that hard. I mean, you know, we as Christians should love people because, you know, that's what Jesus did. And if you've ever had a WWJD bumper sticker or a WWJD bracelet or a coffee mug or whatever, then love is the biggest part of WWJD. And in fact, you know, the greatest thing, or whenever my grandfather, we had his memorial service, and what people talked about most was not his faith, it was his love. His love walk. And I encourage you, if you struggle with your love walk, he has a book out there called Love the Way to Victory. And it'll help you, because we need to love people. Next one is joy. All right, this isn't the joy, you know, because, you know, you won a game or whatever, because Tom Brady won the 7th Super Bowl and you're all excited about that or whatever. This is the joy of the Lord. All right? And, you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength over in Nehemiah. But, you know, the thing is, you can have joy in the middle of the world's chaos. I mean, because we know who we are on the inside of us. And so, you know, when everybody else is in a bad mood, we can be in a God mood. See, that's the kind of fruit that we need to put off. You know, even whenever we don't feel joyful. Over in James, it says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or difficult situations. It doesn't say it will be joyful. It says to have joy in spite of your situation. You know, that's the kind of fruit that we need to have. We need to have joy, because God is with you through it, and God will be with you, you know, till the end. You know, the great thing about it is I've often thought about,
what would I do without God? I mean, how would I make it without God? How would I got through 2020 without God, without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit? You know, thank God for God. You know, and that's the thing is that I'm a pretty joyful person, and people always talk about, well, you're always joyful. Now, I'm not always joyful. You ask my wife on that one. She'll disagree with you a lot, you know, because she's seen me when I'm not as joyful as I am. But you know, for the most part, yeah, I'm pretty joyful, pretty happy. I'm pretty content because, you know what, I'm going to make it. You know, I mean, I'm the glass totally full running over person. You know, some people are the glass half full and the glass half empty, whatever. You know, I believe in what the Lord Bible says. You know, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm the running over guy. So I'm full of joy, and I've got the victory, the song says. Next thing on here is peace. All right, you know, obviously we know the scripture over there in Philippians where it says don't be anxious about anything, but it talks about the peace that passes all understanding will overtake you. Well, you know, peace is doesn't mean that we're going to have tranquility all the time. Peace means that you can have peace in the middle of everybody else's storm. And in fact, we've read it before here, that when Jesus left this world, whenever he left the disciples, one of the last things he says is, peace I leave you with. You know, and I believe that if we would realize how, you know, that God's peace that passes all understanding overtakes us, then there would be less people being depressed. It's hard to be depressed whenever you have peace and joy. You know, and the thing about it is it's so easy to have peace when you know you're God. I said, well, but everything's falling apart. It doesn't matter. All right, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, that's part of my fruit is peace. You know, am I producing the right fruit? This is a tough one for people, patience. You know, the Bible says patience is a virtue. You know, it's patience. You know, how the one scripture says to be still and wait on God. So people are like, man, God, when are you going to do this? See, what happens is we live in the microwave, you know, drive-through generation, you know, where we want it in an instant. I mean, do you realize some of you have gone out and spent thousands of dollars on a computer because your computer that you had took a couple seconds to boot up? Now you said, well, a couple seconds. Mine took like 2 minutes, okay? But you, do you realize that a lot of us, we've upgraded our stuff because we don't have any patience? Now, I'm not saying you can't have a new computer, okay? I mean, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But the society we live in, we want it now. We want it immediate. You know, but with God, things don't always happen immediately. But be patient. Now, something else is a lot of times we don't have patience on other people. You know, sometimes I've seen a lot of Christians, you know, that they, maybe they're trying to help mentor some baby Christians and they're like, man, why can't you get this? Well, you know what? You probably didn't get it immediately either. And maybe you did, but maybe, you know, you understand the world got a little more ADHD than it used to be. All right, I mean, you know, do you realize the world's attention span is not very much? Do you realize that they tell us that the average person can only listen to 22 minutes of a lecture? So preachers shouldn't go too long? 22 minutes. I've already preached probably longer than 22 minutes. You know, because they said you cannot hold their attention. Well, here's the other side about it is that everybody wants, you know, miracles and everything else to happen in 22 minutes. Do you realize that Jesus' message is that they said the Sermon on the Mount might have lasted days. I don't know how long it lasted, but, you know, he didn't just preach for 22 minutes. You know, and the deal is that just be patient. You know, and I know that I do struggle with patience, you know, sometimes too. I mean, I'm the guy that I would rather take a shortcut that might be a long cut just because I don't have to sit in traffic. You ever done that? You've gone like 3 miles out of your way? Because at least you're moving. Now, sometimes you find out that someone else decided to wait in that traffic. They end up getting there before you. But they had to sit in traffic. I was moving the whole time. You know, or I've dove through neighborhoods, not really dove, but, you know, drove through neighborhoods and whatever. And then by the time I got back out there, I'm thinking, man, it probably would have been faster to wait on that traffic. But, you know, so there are some times that we're not patient. But something else is being patient, once again, goes with not saying things quickly. Be patient before you speak sometimes. Be slow to speak, the Bible says. You know, be more patient. All right, the next thing is kindness. You know, I mean, you know, here's the deal. If you're lacking kindness, there's actually a granola bar for you. It's called the Kind Bar. Maybe you need to get the mega portion of those or something like that. But here's the thing. You realize you can have all the Kind Bars you want that still doesn't make you kind. Just like reading all the words you want to read doesn't make you being a doer of the word. You know, but the kindness is, are we kind in our words and our actions? You know, because sometimes we give kind words, but our actions don't speak very kindly. Jesus was always kind, all right? Are they more accustomed to your angry response or a gentle word, a soft answer? Because, you know, a lot of times, and we've all done it. I mean, you know, we sometimes are quick to put off a bad thing or whatever, but are we there to lend a helping hand? You know, it is pretty awesome to demonstrate the fruit of kindness in a culture of rudeness and selfishness. And I will say, you know, the people in Oklahoma are a little more kinder than other areas of the country. You know, I don't know if you come from other areas, I mean, other country. I mean, you know, I'm not saying, you know, there are some other areas of the country that are very, have a lot of kind people. But there are some areas of the country where people are rude. I mean, I know, I'm not going to say where it is because I don't want to pick on some of you guys in the state that are watching this online. But I know there's a certain city that I travel to sometimes. And as soon as the light turns green, if you don't go immediately, someone starts to honk. They don't even wait for, you know, for a second. I mean, you know, like, you know, get moving. Get out of here. So it's interesting, you know. But kindness. You know, here's the thing that we shouldn't even have to be told that we need to be kind. But obviously, if Paul needed to tell his church, you know, and it's there in the Bible for us, that we need to maybe, like I said, once again, be a doer of the word. The next thing is goodness, all right? Are your conversations marked with genuine virtue or honor? Are your conversations tainted with worldly gossip and language and moral tendencies? I mean, you know, goodness doesn't mean you're perfect, but rather someone who is sincere and reflects the integrity of God within. You know, a believer who demonstrates the fruit of goodness has a tendency to believe the best about all people. You know, I try to make excuses for people. I know a lot of people, whenever they're judging other people, you know, I'm like, yeah, but I don't know their situation. I wasn't in their situation. You know, maybe if I was in the situation, I would have done the same thing. You never know. You know, I just want to be kind and good to everybody I can. You know, and you know what? Goodness is also wanting to see everybody else, you know, things good. I mean, I want my kids to have it better than I had it. I want my kids to do more than I did. I mean, you know, and that's even more extended even to, like, especially the students at Rain Bible Training College as we're training. I want to see them do more. You know, and you know, Jesus even says that we can do greater works than he did. And I think that would be very pleasing to him for us to do greater things. And that's, you know, because goodness of heart, I got to go real fast. Faithfulness. You know, does your reputation reflect dependability and steadfastness in the faith? Or do you expect people to be late, undependable, you know, drop off the map type thing, you know? And so be faithful. Now, as a good Christian, we should be faithful to, you know, if you work for a person, you should be faithful to that job.
I don't care what it is. And you say, well, my boss is not godly. I don't care. It's your fruit we're talking about, not his or hers. You know, faithfulness is being faithful in everything you do. You know, that's part of being faithful. Not just being faithful to God, but being faithful to everything that you do. Because, you know, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, is being faithful. You know, and everybody wants a raise, but, you know, here's the deal. A lot of people don't deserve raises. I mean, you know, if they really wanted a raise, they think they would work harder. Not just pray for the government to give everybody a raise. You know, you work harder. You try to achieve more. All right. Gentleness. Philippians 4:5 says this, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Is your meek spirit felt around those who live and work with you, or they feel that you are hard and a legalistic person? You know, there are a lot of legalistic people that were in the Bible. You know, Jesus talked about it all the time. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and other people you see. You know, the teachers and the rulers of the law. You know, but a lot of times us Christians also become legalistic. You know, we become more legalistic, you know, and we're just a hard person to deal with sometimes. All right, but the spirit of gentleness gives grace freely and consistently. All right, believers and unbelievers should feel at ease around you because your presence of gentleness. You love people regardless of who they are. Last thing you want to talk about is self-control, and that was the whole premise of our podcast called Mind Control, is we need to control ourselves, our thought life. What we put in always comes out. You know, a lot of times people, you know, wouldn't have to put their mind under if they wouldn't do some things or see some things or watch some things, listen to some things that makes them have to put their mind under. Even seeing it, sometimes people will read something online and they get mad about it, and then they want to read all the comments. So they get mad about everyone to come, and then they follow it for 3 days. I mean, if it makes you mad, just quit. I mean, that's why I quit watching the news. I used to know what was going on in the world. Now, I don't know if they know what's going on in the world, actually, on the news anyway. I really don't know what's going on in the world a lot of the times, because I just got tired of watching their reports, you know, because I didn't have to put my mind under if I don't dement my mind, so to speak, or whatever. And so I just choose to have self-control. Now, self-control is, I've learned that big. You know, when with my diet, I take self-control. There are some times that I would like to have something that sounds good, but just because it sounds good doesn't mean I need to eat it. All right, and that's the way it is too with our Christian walk. You know, we need to self-control. Now, we need to learn to be fruity. I know in life a lot of times we don't want to be fruity, but in these situations, these are 9 good fruits that we need to produce. And if you're not producing good fruit, you're making us pastors look bad. I mean, you know, you're a reflection of how good we are. And, so you don't just reflect on yourself, you reflect on others. You know, that's so, it's not just what church you go to, it's just if you're a Christian, period. That's why I always tell people, if you're not going to act like Christian, don't tell people you are one. Because we are what we act like. And so we need to produce good fruit. And the way we do that is we have the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside. The Holy Spirit will help us to do what we need to do and not do what we don't need to do. It's just that simple. But like I said, the best thing is, feel bad before you say something that makes you feel bad. You know, you should feel what we call feel convicted. Well, I don't want to feel convicted. See, nobody wants to feel convicted anymore. Well, feeling convicted, that's a bad thing. Well, no, it's not me. I mean, that's how, you know, that's how the Lord leads us. Now, growing up, every one of you knew the rules of your house. And sometimes you broke those rules. And when you broke those rules, whether you thought it was a dumb rule or not, you still felt convicted. You're like, I don't want to
get caught or anything like that. You know, and that's how we are taught, you know. But pretty soon, like when it comes to the Holy Spirit, pretty soon you're gonna quit being convicted because it's no big deal. You're just not gonna walk in that. But we need to walk in more love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, patience, all nine of these things. You know, and put out good fruit. Good fruit, not bad fruit. So, what kind of fruit are you? Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, for helping us live the life that we need to live. Father God, we just thank you right now that each and every time we go through our day, we're going through a situation where we might have an opportunity to put out some bad fruit. Father God, we thank you for leading us and guiding us and convicting us and helping us not to get to that situation where we're producing that bad fruit. But Father, help us all to produce the kind of fruit that we need to produce. Help us to be a Christ-like person like we need to be. Help us to walk in that spirit of faith that we need to walk in each and every time. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Don't forget, Sunday morning, right here, Brother Jim Andrews is going to be ministering. If you've never heard Brother Jim minister, I tell you, he gets excited. He's an exciting minister to listen to. He's excited. In fact, you know, interesting part about it, a lot of times that he ends up speaking after Winter Bible Seminar, and it's pretty hard to get excited after Winter Bible Seminar for some of you guys. But I tell you what, he has a way of getting you pumped up. You know, and so it's going to be an exciting time. Encourage you all to be here or watch us online. Also, once again, you know, all week long and over the next month or two or three or four, next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, check yourself and make sure you're putting out the right fruit. If you're really being tutti frutti, old Rudy, like you should be. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a great night.